Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hello, it is Healthy Gut Girl, Kitty Martone. This is Stuff Your Doctor Should Know, and I'm coming to you live from deep inside your large intestine. And I, today, have a returning guest, one of my favorite people, as you all know, Derek Henry of Healing the Body. He is back with me. You know, it's funny, we did a podcast together. I guess it'll be our third. Today would be our fourth, but we did a third. And the craziest thing happened with my computer, and I started getting like this clicking throughout the entire thing. And I could not save the episode. It was such a bummer. I could not fix it no matter what I did. And I was really sad about it. But we redid it just for you. For those of you that don't know Derek, Derek Henry is the founder of Healing the Body. He has the Thrive Academy. He healed himself of rheumatoid arthritis, candida, hypothyroid, autoimmune disease, skin disease, chronic fatigue, swollen lymph nodes, prostatitis, kidney and urinary infections, liver problems, allergies, acid reflux, and guy's pancreatitis. He did it all on his own. He did it all through health, through natural health means. And he is basically here to help you do that. We started working together or talking together about what I used to do, which is quantum reflex analysis under Dr. Robert Marshall, and talking about mud packing and mud therapy. And he started doing it with his people and getting great results. And so I really wanted to do a session on that. And we did an episode and I lost it. And then we did it again. And so here it is. But what's funny is the whole episode is like almost 2.5 hours. And a lot of the beginning of it is like political discussion. And that is not on this episode. So I took it out just so you could get the good hour of this mud therapy chit chat. And then if you want to watch the whole entire episode, because it's really good, he's got some great perspectives, really good stuff. So if you want to watch that, I will put the YouTube show in the show notes and you can see it on my YouTube channel, Healthy Gut Girl. Otherwise, just listen up, take notes. Segue into the mud packing stuff, because that was the episode that got lost that you and I did. And I think it's probably one of the most valuable topics that you and I would probably ever cover. But I'll let you comment on what I just said about, you know, when you feel helpless, and some people can say, and I say, I turn to God. But some people who maybe don't really believe in that or believe in Jesus or believe in the Bible, they can start by saying, I believe that there is more than this flesh. You can start there. And I want to know what my gifts are. What are my supernatural gifts? I want to be a superhero. Of course, you always talk about that.
yeah, exactly. That's my gig. So that would be a quantum leap if people could start to believe the amount of power that they have, or if they understood how much power they have. And I've been through all this stuff, and I'm not claiming to be the ultimate power, but I do claim that I've been able to tap into powers that we'll say are not my own, but I've learned how to tap into them to a degree that's allowed me to heal 13 chronic disease conditions, for example, when a doctor and everyone else said, you can't do that. I'm like, says who? Again, that was one that actually, before I even knew what I was doing, I rejected immediately. You have rheumatoid arthritis, you're gonna live with this for the rest of your life? No. In my mind, it was no, not happening. I'm going to die, or I'm going to be the healthiest human on the planet. This is what's going to happen. And I'm no different than anybody else in terms of, like, so the gifts that my body has been given and what I can do, and that it just naturally, you know, it's always leaning towards healing or homeostasis for a healthy, happy, you know, person. But there's been so many things in the system and all the systems that have warped our bodies that have created all these health issues. You know, I don't think we'd even have food allergies or any of these things if we didn't have all these poisons in our environment, in our food, our water, and everything, because all this food that's been given to us by nature would be naturally healing. We wouldn't have all these aberrations with what we can eat and what we can't. But we have had all this warping, so then that screws everything up. So now everyone has to adapt in terms of what kind of foods they can eat, and also, gluten's the enemy, and all this kind of stuff starts to happen. And I get it, but this is because of what's happened. So I think that, I talked about the dollar before. That's just one example, and that's not a supernatural power, for example. But people have way more power than they think to change and shape society if they use that fiat dollar. If they use that dollar to determine what the things they want into business, what they give their energy to is really what it is. Money's a form of energy. Give your energy to someone else, that thing's going to grow. If you don't, you withdraw it, that thing's going to contract. And that's what we saw with some of these companies that have contracted over the years. And I don't know that too many have grown over the last little bit, but some of these companies have started to contract, and now we're starting to see how that's changing things. And we don't know the ultimate ending of that, but give it a couple of years, we'll probably find out. So I think it is a big deal. I think, in my opinion, a lot of people give away their power to other things, and I'm like, it's nice to respect and praise and other people that have done things that you want to do or they have these powers. But I think most people are like, listen, folks, you have that power. You just haven't learned how to access or harness it yet, and that can take some time. But I think with this, with what's happening here, this is probably the good thing. It's a silver lining of what's happening. I think a lot of people are turning inwards, or turning to God, or to Buddha, or to Source, or to nature, or the universal, so whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter to me. But more people are turning to that because they realize they're out of control, and I think that's a good thing. That's moving us in the right direction. And if you don't believe it, if you don't believe that you have the power that those kinds of, universe, source, nature is helpful for our overall well-being, go out and camp for 2 weeks, shut off your TV, turn off your cell phone, do nothing, and go out and camp in the woods where you're comfortable, and go out and sit in the forest for 2 weeks and come back and tell me that you don't feel like you've had a reset. Mindset-wise, body-wise, some people say you can reset your circadian rhythm by going out and being in nature, being grounded, being around nature for 2 weeks, and you could completely reset yourself. I don't think anyone, obviously if you're very anxious and stressed, this can happen, but it's this compare if you're anxious and stressed, you go out and you camp for 2 weeks and you lay in a tent or whatever, everything's comfortable, but you're out in nature. Compare to that if you're very stressed and you go to Vegas for 2 weeks. For me, the latter, for me personally, does not work. The overstimulation, the more of the same kinds of stuff, the EMFs, all the kind of stuff that I don't want. I'm not grounded. Everything goes haywire. My nervous system is out of whack. You do go into nature, all that stuff changes. And that's just an example of how you physically could go out somewhere where, we talk about God and things we not necessarily can see. We can go into nature and do these things, and we know how we feel. This is why we go on walks. This is why we love the beach in these places, because of how they feel to us, the frequency that matches ours.
Yeah, exactly. That's so well said. Actually, it's called, at least in the Bible, it's called general revelation. And it's the way that God reveals himself to us is through nature, or that's one of the ways. And so like we go out and it's like you have like, you stand on the precipice of the Grand Canyon, you stand, in front of a waterfall, and you're just, or you see a whale in the ocean, and you're just like, oh, and it resets you because it, I think there's this quality, because the, I told you I was at the hurricane in Florida, and there was this incredible thing that happened. I don't know how many natural disasters you've been in, but I've been ticking them, I'll tick ticking the boxes through my
None.
life. Well, good for you. But there's something that happens that's similar to what happens when you see something like a waterfall or the Grand Canyon, is like, it's awe-inspiring. You feel you've, it gives, it humbles you, which I think is an incredible virtue. It's incredible quality for every human to have and to work towards, is humility. And when you feel so insignificant, when you are looking at 120 mile an hour winds and you're sitting in an enclosed porch and you're like, OMG, it's like, and is this going to get worse? Is the roof going to come off the top of my house? Did we make the wrong decision? Is my dog going to die because we made a stupid decision, or or your children or me, loss of life and limb, and you're, and there's this awe to it. There's this like terror, but then there's just this like almost like surrender because you feel so small. And I think that that sounds self-deprecating, but I think it's where we should always behave from. We should have a posture of humility like that all the time. If everybody could manage to do that every morning, I know I try very hard, to get up in this city, this crazy city, and walk outside and have a posture of humility, it totally changes how you feel about your liberal neighbor.
Yes,
You know,
yes.
it just changes things.
Yep.
And that's the power. I think when we think power, we think, oh, we're like have this supernatural, like a godly power, when actually a posture of humility is where we begin from, or where I think is wise to begin from to then start to change your life. But you said going out, Dr. Medici, who I've had on my show in the past many times, passionate powerhouse of a human, like so on fire. And he says, it's not enough. I mean, you're saying go for 2 weeks for sure. People should all do that. But he's like, we need to all move now. He's like, we need to get a, if you're in California, go get a yurt in Topanga Canyon. He's like, we need to get out of the cities. And he gets so dramatic about it. He's like, you don't understand the assault that is happening. You see the assault because the guy got stabbed on the boardwalk, but there is the frequencies, the electromagnetic frequencies, the energy of people that are constantly off their circadian rhythm and off of their vibe, you know, their good, their healthy vibe. You're dealing with that every day. Trauma, coming in contact with people that have so much trauma, including your own pollution, the water, the air, everything. He's like, is an assault anymore. It's there is no escape now unless you leave, you pick up and you leave. And just to put a nail in that, I was in for the hurricane. My husband and I had to, we had to, I had to stay 2 weeks longer because we arrived to a brand new house that we had never seen in live with our own eyes. We arrived on Sunday and we were going to furnish it. It's a rental. We were going to furnish it and do all the things and then come back. We arrived Sunday. The hurricane happened on Wednesday night. And there was not, you couldn't even get Amazon packages, nothing. Even afterwards, there's no power. The trees blocking the roads, like it was just not going to happen. So I had to stay and he came back. I mean, I'd so, you know, no power, raining, rainbows, thunder. I mean, the hurricane was gone now. You know, wildlife, lizards, hawks, birds, beautiful egrets in my front yard, dragonflies, and I didn't have anything to do but wait until things started up again. And I did have a reception, so I was like Marcoing my FaceTiming my family, and I had taken some screenshots because there was like dragonflies and stuff while I was talking. And I went back to look at those photos, and I was like, I don't know if I've ever seen myself so relaxed. My face, I just was like, I was so happy and just chill. And I was going to bed at night and sleeping, and it was quiet because all you could hear was the rare generator in the distance because people didn't have power. And I was like, I just need to move here because this is the closest thing to peace that I have had in years. And, you know, it's just I long for that now, you know. And yeah, it's a city, it's Sarasota, it's a decent sized city with a lot of people, but it's not LA.
Well, no doubt. And you got a taste of that alignment. Like
Yeah.
the doctor says, when you get in nature, that's your natural alignment. That is, you jive together with nature, the alignment's there, the frequency's there, where all these alternative frequencies we deal with, like I said, in Vegas, if you want to use an example, or even Los Angeles, where we have 5G, we have EMFs, we have all this stuff going on. We're not grounded. We're walking around in soles or shoes that aren't keeping us grounded to the earth. I would agree with the doctor that we do need to move, as much as possible, go back to maybe a more agrarian type route, not meaning that we all have to go back and be farmers, but get more back to those old
As
days where we
close
weren't
as
in
we
concentrated
can.
cities. Yeah, as close as you can. And not everyone's gonna be able to do it perfectly. Some people might be able to go completely off grid, and that's awesome. Good for you, and some
Yeah.
people maybe can't. Maybe it's something as simple as eliminating, or moving to an area where there isn't, 5G two blocks away. That might be a huge improvement for you, for example, because that just scrambles us all day long.
Yeah.
And so this is, and I understand because I come from the country. I lived in a farm, where, there wasn't, there was power and stuff, but there wasn't much of any of those things. And I had a great life there. I was grounded all the time. I was out in nature all the time. It was great. And
Yeah.
I love some things about the city, but I also love some things about the country. And to me, it's trying to find obviously the balance there, but I wouldn't have disagreed with them because we've been attacked from every single angle. And that's where I go back to the warping of our bodies. They've no longer become aligned. You can start to align them. This is where you have to change your food, your water, your lifestyle, where you live, your environment, all those things need to change into where you get more in tap with that frequency, let's say. But you use a great word there. The one word that I love humility. I think it's like one of the greatest things that someone could do is humble themselves and be and have humility. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to lack confidence. Sometimes people might mistake that humble humility, like, oh, I'm just a little meek, a little person. It doesn't mean that. You can have extreme like you have confidence in your creator or whatever you have. You have that confidence, but you're humble. You know, it's like I'm all that in a bag of chips, but I know what's bringing it to me. It's not me necessarily. It's what I'm tapped into, right? And you can have that confidence. That's okay. Not a cocky confidence, but a confidence in yourself and who you are and the powers you have. But in that humility, there's not enough humility. Too many people are, why? Because too many people are operating out of their ego full time. There's no
And
humility
fear.
in there. And fear,
And fear.
exactly. All those things, right? And there's absolutely no humility in that. Humility comes when you start to be, like I said, become more aligned with nature. Like you said, in after the hurricane, you know, all these things you see, the dragonflies, all that stuff. This is a humbling experience and a great experience, right? And the other thing that isn't it a passage somewhere? I mean, I don't understand my passages well at all, but isn't something like the meek shall inherit the earth?
Yeah, Matthew.
This is the
Yeah, the
meek we're
Sermon on the
talking about,
Mount.
right?
Right?
Which you could say is the humble. And
Yes.
they're going to inherit. So if that's true, why are we going to inherit the earth? Why are these other people? And then that actually maybe gives you a little bit more hope that if we're going to inherit the earth, then we're not going anywhere. Like
Yes.
some of us might be, but some of us who are really believe in that and are grounded in that, we're
Yeah.
not going anywhere. You other people who aren't the meek, who are the controlling, the corrupt, you're the ones that are out of here. We're staying because we're inheriting this place, but you're leaving. So I always like to kind of draw on that for myself, right?
That's awesome. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's a posture that's difficult for people. You know, it's the same posture that helps you work with clients really well because, you don't assume anything. You don't, you're not aggressive in your delivery. You treat people like you want to be treated, almost like a child in a way where you would never aggressively yell at a child for being, I mean, not a healthy parent wouldn't, where if they're wrong or you make a mistake or you treat everyone the way you want to be treated. And that brings humility on its own because you're most people are precious unto themselves so much, So you're like, I don't want to be yelled at. I don't want to be condescended against. I don't want to be, any of these things. And that is, it's hard to do. It's really easy. And I think having my Facebook group, the estrogen dominant support group, has really taught me so much because if you went to my high school friends, I don't think back in the day, they would not say I was a humble person. They would definitely not say that. So it's something that I really feel like I have acquired over the years because, out of fear and insecurity, you're like, I know this and I know that. I know more than, you come across as a know-it-all, and no one likes that person. Nobody likes someone who knows everything or thinks they do. And so working towards that posture, I think, is one of the most important things that people can do. And yeah, having my group, it's like if I get it, when I first had the group, if I get in there and I don't, and I'm not humble with my information, it starts fires everywhere. Maybe not right then, but I have to really cultivate that group. I have to like really nurture the members and myself and everyone together. And so when someone is a jerk, it you have to be a big jerk to get blocked from my group. Like you have, because I will first try to resolve it, and try to be like, okay, well, and the way that I say things, like I try so hard. Now I don't always, I don't always succeed, and I'm sure I still fail a lot, but it's just taught me so much about how to treat your fellow person. You don't know what their life, you don't know what's going on in their life that made them lash out at you. And that's just the golden rule. That's just the original golden rule that every religion, every belief system, every culture has, which is treat others the way you want to be treated. And
That's right.
that's just, so basic, but it's so precious too. I wanted to, because you and I just get on such a roll and I love it. I want to like segue a bit into keep the supernatural vibe about our bodies as energy and grounding, and then start to talk about the whole mud packing thing. Are you using the mud packing at all?
Yeah, I still am. Yeah, I mean, when I initially started doing it, I did it probably for 6 months of the year, you know, 2 or 3 times a week.
Wow.
Because as usual with the things that I do, I always decide when I'm doing it, I'm doing it. You know, I don't, I've said many times, I don't do things half-assed. I do them full-assed.
Right, the
I was
whole
going,
ass.
I was into it and I was really enjoying it and seeing a lot of benefits from it. And then I slowed down a bit. I still have some though. And I do it maybe, you know, maybe a couple times a month now. I'll do things. I mean, I don't feel like I need to do it as much.
Yeah.
But even the process is very grounding outside of the other things that it does do. But that's a
Yeah.
great example, especially, you know, when winter comes and depending where you live, your ability to ground naturally, let's say through your hands, your feet in the soil or the sand or grass or whatever can be minimized. I mean, I could I do this? Sure, I could dig out a hole in the snowbank and go stand with my bare feet and freeze them off and then maybe have other injuries, but get grounded. But I don't really want to do that. So, you know, I think I've thought of other ways that, you know, I can use technologies or I can use things like this, where it's, I might not be physically grounded to the earth, but I'm putting grounding material on me, especially when you're stuck indoors.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of their plan too, is keeping people stuck indoors and in that depression, anxiety that comes with it, not being outdoors and being stuck in closed quarters and things that are at home, the environment, the things that we're inhaling. You know, we're not grounded anymore. The sun
Sedation,
goes away.
just sitting for hours and
Right,
hours and
exactly. Like,
hours.
there's nothing really good that can come of that being stuck that way. And you add in all this other stuff that's going on as well. It's just ripe for disaster. But yeah,
Yeah.
the mud stuff for me is even if you can't go camping, to me, it's like that's a great thing. If you can start putting some of this mud in your body, it does, I don't, there's some strange sensation, other than all the other things it does, because that's just one thing. You know, the flow and obviously removal and drawing things off your body as well that are toxic. But there's a real grounding feeling to that. Sort of like there would be if you just went out and you literally, you know, thought you were or pretend you were a pig and you just started rolling around the mud and got all that mud all over your body. How
Yeah.
grounding would that feel if you're
Yeah.
in your natural environment? It'd feel very grounding.
Yeah. I hadn't, I'd kind of fallen away from it. In fact, even when I kind of introduced it to you, I hadn't done it in a long time, and in rare instances I would do it. And I kept thinking about you doing it, and I was like, I should probably start doing it again. And then I forgot about it. But something happened to, so first of all, for listeners who don't know, because I haven't talked about this in years. Basically, it's mud therapy. I mean, it's mud packing, but we'll call it mud therapy, where you take a this particular kind of mud, which is an ionic mud. It's from lava, and it's has tons of minerals in it. It has ionic charge to it. It's a powder. So you basically, it's got this ionic charge. You put liquid in it. You can put different types of fluid to make like what's called a mud pack or a little mud patty. And you can mud pack injuries, old, infection sites, everything. But you begin, and I've used it on, you name it. I've used it on vaccine injured children. I've used it on, pregnant women, their C-section. I mean, not their C-section, the epidural scars on their backs, because it's these pinpointed injuries that can reflex throughout the body. So big blunt injuries can have this kind of effect, like when you break your collarbone, it can certainly have what they call a splat effect when you break a when you have a blunt big injury that's nonspecific. But the injuries that seem to really, really linger for people come from like incisions, injections, because it's hitting like specific meridians in the body, right? And so that's why an epidural shot in the spine can reflex to women and have like lower back pain or even have like cervical issues up in their neck and all kinds of stuff. So I've done tons of those, lots and lots of stuff. Seen it do. I saw a nonverbal child with cerebral palsy sit up and say apple, who had not spoken since she was a little tiny toddler. And she had an injury and fell. And anyway, long and the short of it is we mud packed her injury. And in the middle of it, she was getting some sunlight and we were sitting outside. And we took the mud off of her, and someone brought some sliced apples out, and she sat up and she said, apple. And everyone was like, her mom started crying. So
Wow, of
it
course.
can be, yeah, it's what's happening with the mud, which is so cool, is that it can like turn on the lights. It can, where you, these injuries can create shorts in our energetic body, the same things that a acupuncturist would work on. You get these shorts, and like if you could see, if you could put on a pair of energetic glasses and look at a person's body, like your body or my body, and just see their energetic meridians, you would see all this light going like freeways across the body. But there would be darkened spots in certain areas where you've had injury, right? So the mud essentially turns those lights back on, or it can to some degree. It's not, it's kind of like if you break a tongue depressor, wooden stick, and you try to put it back together, it'll never be the same. But the mud helps create the charge again, which is what I think is so fascinating about it.
The charge, I
The
like that.
charge.
And think about it that way too. Like you said, there could be weakened meridians, there could be maybe severed meridians, that in people, like you say, that has this effect where an injury one place could show up in a completely separate place, and you may not realize that the two are actually associated because you might not understand meridians and the connection between the gallbladder and where that else could show up inside the body. It might show up in your hips, and you're like, I got a hip problem. Maybe it's a gallbladder problem. Maybe we need to work on the flow there, right? That's one example of where there's this not able to piece it together because conventional medicine segregates everything so much, whereas it's a kidney problem and that's all it is. How could it possibly only be a kidney problem? At this point, there's got to be other things that are likely going on. And, the adrenals might have caused some of the issue. Who knows? Because they're closer related, but everyone doesn't realize how intricate this is and this, as you call it, circuitry that's going throughout the body and how the lights can go out or it could be cut out in one place. And you're not receiving light in the other area, and then you can have, depreciation or deterioration of your health. I often use the example of a light where someone where the lamp goes out and someone keeps on trying to change the light bulb. And they're like, I changed the light bulb three times, but nothing's changing. And I'm like, I have no idea what's happening. The light's not working. It must be something like, the light bulb's the problem. And they look back and it's like, oh, realize it's not plugged in, or the cord severed back at the where the plug-in is, or something
Or
like
it's
that.
a little severed,
Or right,
right?
it's a little sever, right? So it's flickering or whatever. This is the kind of example. You cut off that energy, that electricity to the bulb. The bulb's just the symptom of the problem. It's actually not the problem itself, and the source is at the core. And this happens to so many people. The symptom shows up one place, the source is somewhere completely different. But we've never been taught, not anywhere close to being taught, this type of information where we can start to piece that together along with other symptoms to understand what's happening. And the
So
grounding,
good.
the mud packs, like you say. I mean, again, if you want to go, we want to talk more about just energy, the energy from those packs, the frequency of those packs. We could talk about all the nutrients in them and what they are, and we can call them all names. There's magnesium in there, and there's grounding clays and all this stuff they have, but it's earth material. It's a strong frequency. It resonates with us. And you being able to get under your skin is going to be able to draw off those positively charged molecules or whatever you want to call them. And this is negatively charged, draw that off of your body, open up those meridians, perhaps, like you said, open up the highway a little bit, get rid of some of the jams. And it might not be perfect, but we're not looking for perfection. We're looking for progression first and whatever we can achieve. And I've seen some great results of that. I mean, I've used it on my face in some cases, even to draw off maybe some of the dental, because I've had a lot of dental surgeries and a lot of dental procedures in my mouth. I can't imagine with all those needles in my mouth, all the stuff that might be on my cheeks, inside my tissues there. And even using that as an example, it's like, okay, I can maybe draw some of this off topically off my face, not even worried about my meridians at this point. If it were, the other stuff happens, great. But I could actually just draw this stuff off my body. And so I've used it in so many different types of ways, not just myself, but also with clients. And it really is an amazing practice. I think more people know about.
I think so too. Dr. Marshall used to say that the energetic meridians are not unto themselves. They're not separate from the lymph system, and they're not separate from the circulation. Like, they all work together. So when we have those like darkened spots of energy or circuitry, that means that nutrition is not getting to that area effectively. And so that's super fascinating too, because a lot of times people like myself, I notice that I had a pretty severe TBI head injury, and I broke the orbital bone right here, my right cheek. I broke my nose, and the whole right side of my body was affected by that. I didn't hit anything else. I just hit my head, my face, and then the cysts that showed up on my ovaries on the right side. Everything happens to me on the right side, and that might also be a function of being right-handed, because you're using the right side more. But there is also some energetic, correlation there with being starved on the right side. Your gallbladder's on the right side. People that have broken their right collarbone, that tends to reflex to the gallbladder. A lot of times they'll have gallbladder issues, and you say, "Have you broken your collarbone?" They're like, "Yep." And men especially. But so I want to tell you a quick story just about what happened with me. So one of the things you do with mud packing, right, is they say you should always mud pack your hands and feet one at a time before you do anything else. And I just always used to get annoyed with that, because I felt like I never really saw the effects of not doing it versus doing it. So I used to bypass it. Well, I just learned a really good lesson about this. It's similar to, Stop Chasing Pain, Peter Nicholson's Instagram and website. You should follow him. I think you do. He's incredible. He teaches lymph drainage.
Okay.
And he says, you can't just go and start dry brushing your lymph, your body, because you could have, especially these days, you could have a backup of toxicity. So you're poking at the lymph, which carries a lot of garbage. You're poking at it, and you're not doing it correctly. You could have like this backup, sewage backup type of thing. Same thing with the downloads and the mud packing is what I'm learning. So I'm sure if Constantine is listening to this, he's going to laugh at me because I keep telling this damn story about my toe. So I had started this plate fit class and I was wearing these toe socks and I cut my inside of my toe. I have really like tender feet and I cut the skin of my toe. And after that, you don't wear shoes in this class. You just wear these like socks. And after that, it got infected. And then it turned into what I thought was athlete's foot. And then it turned into blisters. And then it turned into eczema. And then I've had it now for going, January will be a year. And I have done everything, including my gut stuff, everything. Then I got back for it. It really died down in Florida, believe it or not, in the midst of a Category 4 hurricane. It died down. And I was in the water a lot in the ocean. And I was, like I said, grounded. And it died down a lot. I came home and I'm telling you, I tried everything except mud packing. So when I get back here to LA, I'm like, oh my God, it's on my hands. And what it's called dishidrotic eczema. So it's like little tiny water blisters. It's not like the red peely stuff and little tiny, and they itch at a 10, right? It's just like maddening. Well, then it's on my hands and I'm seeing it all like little bubbles. I'm like, oh my God. I started freaking out and I thought, hands and feet. I was praying about it, I was meditating about it, hands and feet, downloads. My detox pathways are burdened, right? And my downloads are closed. That's why it's trying to come out of my hands and feet. So I mud packed my hands and feet and immediately felt such relief because I stopped using all those meds they were giving me and stuff. Didn't help. Mud packed hands and feet, immediate relief. Then I started on a program I was trying to do before, which was, methylene blue and high dosing magnesium throughout the day, which of course for detox we know is just incredible. But the methylene blue is supposed to help open your detox pathways. And tremendous. Like it's down to almost like 5% now on the toe where it started, and that's it. And I just couldn't believe that I had forgotten about the mud packing. I mean, the methylene blue is its own story. But just to open up the pathways. And how many of your clients have a stagnant liver, have hormone issues, have gut issues, their motility in their bowels is terrible, and they've got swollen lymph everywhere. This is not unusual. This is super, super, super common. And this, I think, is the inflammatory issues everyone deals with, but their bucket runneth over. It's like their toxic bucket is full. Mud packing for the win.
That's right. That's a great story. I'm glad you learned your lesson the hard way, but the good way of not opening up
I know.
those
I could hear
sources.
Dr. Marshall down from the heavens. What is
Right.
wrong with you,
What were
woman?
you doing?
You know this stuff, But
But
we know so much that we forget
right.
it.
And that's the exact point I was going to make. Some people get into their fields, right, and they focus on very specific things and drugs for specific things. If you're a doctor and maybe a naturopath, you focus on very specific things. But you and I, for example, I mean, I'll at least speak for myself, but I know you're the same. We're Renaissance men and women, meaning we tackle a lot of different things. Like we're very holistic in our approach, all the way from nutrition to mud packing. And when you learn all this stuff, it's great because you have all these things at your disposal, all these arrows in your quiver. But after a while, when you have hundreds of them, some of them you don't use for a while and you forget about them
You're like,
briefly, right?
oh,
It's like, wait, I still had that one, right? It's like, I forgot about it. And that's why I say I usually go hard on them in the beginning, then they'll fall off. And then eventually, if they're good enough to me, eventually I'll remember about them again and they'll fold back into my plan somehow so that you have this kind of balanced plan where you use all these kinds of things. But that's the issue when you have so much stuff in your head and so many things that you could use. Sometimes you forget about that out of the hundreds of things that maybe this is the one, as opposed to when you're very, narrow focused. The unfortunate part with them is, yeah, they remember the certain things, but they don't have access to all these other therapies that may or may not work. But mud packing, I agree with you. It's a huge one that many people are missing out on. Even for myself, I know that same thing. I mean, when I started to get healthier and I was getting healthier day by day and I managed to dig myself into some big holes. But after some stuff was left over, I'm like, why is this stuff not changing? Right. And there could have been a number of different things, but I think a lot of it was because of issues that I had, we'll say, with my meridians, with my circuitry, where all that nutrition, which was completely on point when it comes to healing, was not traveling the highway. There was a distribution problem. I was making all this great food at my farm, but there was a distribution problem and I couldn't get it out of town to where it needed to go. And that was happening inside my body.
Supply
So
chain.
eventually you sort of figure that out. It's a huge deal. Okay, now we can actually start to give that area, some of this nourishment, and that changes a lot of things. A lot of people have a lot of blockages in their body, like you said, just based on some of the things we even know, even from injections. Most people have had them in their life, whether it's a child or otherwise, right? That's just one thing. Most people probably have a scar or an injury site. Like, usually don't go through life without any one of those things, and they can cause some big issues. And for me, packing is one of the simplest, most effective, and even maybe most enjoyable ways to start to increase that flow, so those pathways start to open.
I think that's the whole concept behind even just opening your downloads, just that. It's kind of like the concept behind a Caster Pack or sauna. Or supporting the liver with nutrition. It's like it supports what that organ is supposed to already be doing, because those are the pathways, aren't they? Like it starts at the
It is.
liver, the kidney, the gut, the lungs. Those are the detox organs, right? The skin, the liver, the kidneys, the lymph, although those are glands, the bowel, and I forgot one, lungs, anyway. And those are the pathways. That's where they begin. And so we need to support opening those. And I think that that is probably one of the most overlooked issues, health issues, is just because people detox all day long, or they'll do, they get on a liver flush, or they get on a, they do enemas, or they do they take DIM, for example, diindolymethane, to help detox the estrogens, and they take calcium deglucarate, and I mean, it could go on and on, right? They take all the glutathione, NAC, and you can take all of these things to encourage detoxification in the body. But if your detox pathways are closed, you've got a backed up sewer system. It's gonna go somewhere, and most likely it'll go to the bowel. You'll recycle that. It'll come back as more toxic estrogen, or it'll come back. And that was one of the biggest things about COVID, was whether or not it made it into your lungs, right? And people were like, so the big things that people had that I got COVID, thank God it didn't get into my lungs, but I caught something actually in Florida that did get into my lungs. And but that, I think it might have been mold exposure, but that's a story for another day. Anyway, I think that when you have this burdened toxic, these closed detox pathways, and you get sick, you've got no way to clear this stuff. And one of the first places that you're toxic, you're going to go into the bowel, and you're going to eliminate stuff through urine and through poo. And if you are have slow motility, low motility, or even if you have like diarrhea, which can tend to be the body trying to rid itself of a slow bowel, right? It'll flush water through the system, so you get wet stools. This way, and then you get sick, it reflexes into the lungs. So, I mean, I don't actually mean that that stuff, the poo, goes into your lungs, of course. I just mean your detox system. So, what we talked about before, it reflexes back into the lungs. And that's when this COVID is like, hey, the virus will go right into your lungs. Also, when people have dental, like a dental and low grade dental infection, that's a big thing too. Someone posted a study on that, about a lot of times the people that had got really bad respiratory COVID, they actually, a lot of them had Provotella, I think it is, which is like a halitosis type of infection in the teeth. It can be from a dirty old root canal or a crown, or even just not really caring for your teeth well. and a bad gut, by the way.
Yeah.
And that this can immediately reflux and have, not immediately, but have this, you know, end up, you end up with respiratory stuff. And that, again, it's like all your filters are burdened in your car and you're just putting down the freeway and you can't even put out your exhaust because you're so toxic.
Yeah.
Right.
So true. That's the toughest part with the detox, I think, for a lot of people, is that you can go and buy all the herbal kits you want and say, I'm going to detox my liver and do all these things. But I think the part that people haven't probably been the most educated on is that when you start to liberate those toxicities, are your pathways open enough to actually remove them and get them out of your body? Or are you just going to, you know, pile the garbage up from your garbage can and pile it in the corner and it's all going to get stuck there? Well, it's going to reek to an extent. You might have got rid of some of it, but now it's going to be stinking in the corner because you can't get it out to the garbage truck to dry it, to take it away. And that's what happens with all these detox pathways, including your liver, where it's this stuff's not open enough, and you got to learn how to open that. If that opens up, if that works really well and you start to do it, your results are going to be 20-30% better than other people, at least, if not more, depending on how blocked they are. But that's a huge one that we haven't been taught how to do, because it takes a little bit more expertise to understand how to do that and how to do it safe as you can and effectively.
Yeah, that is such a good point, because think about all these people who will do detoxes and then they'll get sick, more sick later. They'll do a parasite cleanse. I'm like, I feel amazing. And then 2 months down the line or the next full moon, they have an eruption of, you know, what seems to be a worse case of a parasite infection than before. And that's why. But sometimes, you know, you can just open the pathways and your organs will do their thing, especially if you eat as healthy as you do, as, you know, healthy as I do usually. You know, because then you've given your body the tools to do its job. And people say, you know, all the naysayers are like, you don't need to detox the liver. That's the whole point of the liver. It is, does its detox on its own. It's like, well, smarty pants, not so. It is the case, just like, you know, just like any kind of filter, a filter in your, you know, air conditioner. It that is its job to filter and cool the air. But if you never change that filter and you've got to support it, especially with what we talked about before, with the exposure to all of the assaults on us, you have to support detox. And I think, in fact, I'm really glad we had this conversation, because I think I'm just going to start focusing on that with all these women in the group who are struggling. And then they add something in like progesterone, or they add in a B vitamin or whatever, and a dim whatever, and all of a sudden they're worse. And it's like, how about focus on lymph drainage, opening your detox pathways, things that do help do that, and then just live your life and not be so like, I'm going to take 5,000 supplements, including progesterone and pregnenolone and testosterone, and then try to get on in life. That's just too much. I think it's the detox pathway thing has to be focused on.
I would concur. There's so many supplements you could take these days, and there's some great ones out there that can help. But at some point, after a while, they're not going to work anymore, because if the pathways aren't open, forget about it. Now it's not the best use of your money. It might not hurt you, but it's not the best use of your money. It's not effective. It's not getting to the results that you want to get to. And in the end, like I said, everything just needs to, I can imagine in my mind, if everything is just flowing perfectly and things are being removed and flow through perfectly, you're going to slough that off no matter what way you slough it off. There's many different ways you can remove this stuff, but it's all going to start to come off your body very quickly, because at some point, and I've done this and I've been guilty of this, where I take supplements for a long, long time, certain ones, and they would help to a certain extent, but then they wouldn't work anymore. And at that time, I didn't understand why they weren't, didn't seem to be working anymore. I thought, well, they just, you know, their usefulness is over. Didn't really realize that, you know, how congested my lymphatic system was in some of these areas, because I didn't clean the air filter on my liver. It still wasn't operating effectively, so I still wasn't getting that flow, and the issues were going to be there for as long as they ever need to be there, until I actually learned how to open that up. And there's only a certain amount of things that will do that properly. And I think, again, I think the mud, out of everything I've tried, I mean, there's different things you can do, but mud is one of the greatest, nicest, most grounding things. I mean, you can get into other stuff, right? I mean, sauna is nice too. Sometimes that opens some things up, not exactly the same type of way, but opens other things up. But I say, you know, if you're going to get your lymphatic system moving too, I mean, you could rebound, you know, you can do these kinds of easy things that have a big impact. You know, you hot and cold showers, if you're down with that. Some people don't want to do hot and cold showers though, because they don't want freezing water on them.
Right.
Again, I like to use things that have the biggest levers I can help someone pull, that they can spend the least amount of time on, that'll have the biggest impact and very safe. And I think mud is all of those things.
Yeah, it's great for children, as I mentioned. That's
Yeah.
something, whereas like an Epsom salt baths are good for
Yes.
kids too. Whereas like sauna, you don't really want to put a kid in
Right.
150 degree heat.
Exactly.
There's a lot of things, they may not sit still for Caster Packs or whatever. But well, the mud is similar to the Caster Pack because they have to sit still for that. But it is good. I mean, we used it on so many, even babies, babies that had been in the hospital for a long time and had IVs in their little feet, the tops of their feet. We put it there. I mean, there were so many things, but again, I mean, I think you might have to refresh my memory unless you don't remember either. But it's the download, so the hands and the feet. Then it's the major organs from the bottom to the top. Or was it from the top to the bottom?
Actually, I can't confirm nor deny.
I think it's from the bottom to the top. Yes, it is. It is. It is.
Okay.
And I mean, I don't think it's going to cause a huge problem, but if you start from the top, if you've opened your downloads and you start from the top, you could still have blockages. So you want to make sure from the bottom up that your downloads are open.
Right.
So, but you can do every kind of possible mud pack, and people are like, can't I just bathe in it or cover my body in it? But it's you're diluting its strength. You're diluting, if you think of it as a circuit once again, or like what's a good analogy? It's like you want to pinpoint the energy. You want to pinpoint the injury that you're at. So if you had a MMR shot, on your arm, you don't want to put mud on your whole entire arm. You want to pinpoint that injury, or if you have a tattoo or something. So yeah, I mean, I think I need to start, using it again and just incorporating it into all those gentle detox methods that are super effective. And that's the thing I think we're so used to is like, if it's not a big gun, if I don't take DIM and my pee doesn't turn orange, it's not working. I don't want it. If I don't do a liver flush and pass stones the size of dice, it's BS, It's like we want these big guns. And I think if we can just get out of that mode and just really commit to doing these gentle things over and over with consistency, you're going to get a lot more bang for your buck, I think.
I agree 1,000%.
1,000%.
1,000. Yes.
Okie dokie. So good. I really, really, really love that we were able to talk at length about the mud packing because I think it's going to be useful for a lot of people. The mud is in the show notes also. The only place to get the mud is through Premier Research Labs, and you have to sign up for a free account. It's free to do it. Through Premier, and then once you get into the store, you can then purchase the mud. It's called Medi Body Pack, and then there's different fluids. You can mix it with vinegar. You can mix it with some of the liquids, the fluids that Premier sells. And I put the mud packing instructions in the show notes as well. So I hope you enjoyed that. Please make sure to follow both of us on Instagram. He's Derek Henry, Healing the Body, and I am, of course, Healthy Gut Girl _. And then everything else that we talked about is in the show notes. All right, friends, talk to you soon.